Coordinates Found, the Outdoor Parent Podcast.
Hello, it's Jelaine, your host of the Outdoor Parent Podcast. Today's episode is a winter edition, and we're going to discuss kick sledding. We interview Alicia from Door County Kick Sleds to learn about what it is and why you might want to try kick sledding with your family. Enjoy!
I'm Alicia Pudlow. I own Door County Kick Sled based out of Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. My husband and I are the owners of this business, and we're live in Fish Creek, take our kick sleds all over Wisconsin.
All right. Well, thank you for being here. I've known about kick sledding for a while because that we do a little bit of dog sledding, and some dog sledders like the kick sleds because they're really light and they have small teams, so they use them. So that's how I first heard about kick sledding. But I'd say most people have never heard about it. So for the average person, can you give like a really basic description of what a kick sled like looks like, what it does, why you want to use one?
We describe a kick sled as like a snow scooter. It kind of looks like a chair on skis. So there's two metal skis with plastic runners on the bottom, and the whole contraption is made out of wood. It has a little chair that raises up with some handlebars that you can hold on.
So then what do you do with a kick sled? Why would someone want to get one? What do you do with it?
So you'll stand on the footrests on the skis and you'll kick off and glide. You can also walk behind it to keep for stability. It works out on the ice. It works on the snow. So you can take it running. You can take it down trails, just walking.
But yeah, basically you're holding on to a piece and then pushing yourself off. So it's pretty simple, but it's a different concept in the United States, I feel. So where did kick sledding originate from? Like the rough history of it?
So kick sleds come from Europe, over in Sweden, Finland, all the Scandinavian countries, and it's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. It is definitely modernized. The business that we buy them from have been around specifically for over 100 years.
Oh, wow. What do people in Scandinavia, what do they usually use them for? Is it more recreational? Is it more practical?
It's definitely more practical than we use it here. So we salt our roads here, so we don't get to use it like they do there. They use it as a mode of transportation. They take it to the stores. They take it to school. Instead of having a bike rack, you have a kick sled rack. They typically leave one sidewalk snowy, and they salt one for the walkers. There's definitely less car travel because of the snow and how much they get. The kick sleds can be used through town, to school. Having that chair on the front, you can put a basket on there and bring groceries or shopping bags or your backpack, whatever you need. So it's definitely used different there than it is here. My mother-in-law actually had seen it on social media from a Swedish model, and she has a Swedish friend that she asked about. And she said that in Sweden, they're all over the place. They take them to school, they take them to the grocery stores, and she remembered growing up with it. So she hopped on the internet and found some. This was probably 6 years ago, so we were still kind of young to get into this. So she hopped on the internet and found some in Canada that she bought. She bought two. She brought them over here, and we've been using them ever since. And every time we would go out, people would ask us, what is that? It looks like a chair on skis. How did you find this? So we've been telling people for 6 years now, and in the last 2 years, we have decided that why don't we be the people that sell them? Why don't we be how people find them much easier? Because there's only four places in the U.S. you can get them. So very, very new here.
We know a little bit about the backstory and what kick sledding is. So let's dive into why families should start using them. What would be some scenarios that families could do with them? Is it good for families? Like, yes. Give some examples, maybe.
Sure. So we like the kick sleds for so many different reasons. One being that winter is so hard to get out. Like you said, we salt the roads here, so there's not much that you can do. And especially having like a patch of iciness and then a patch of dry, it's not really safe for anyone to be out walking. So for winter options, we have ice skating, we have skiing, we have snowshoeing, and now we have kick sledding. Skiing is hard for little kids. It's definitely have a learning curve, trying to maneuver little kids when they fall to getting up a hill. There's definitely a lot you have to learn. You also outgrow skis very fast because you have to match the skis, the poles, the boots. Our kick sleds are pretty much one size fits all. There's some small children sizes that you can purchase, but the standard size we say for 8 years old and up. So it lasts forever, pretty much. There's not another sport that you can get as much travel distance covered. There's not a sport that's as easy. I used it with my 3-year-old nephew. He hopped right on. He knew exactly what to do. It's very, very self-explanatory, no learning curve. So to just get your family out in the winter and to get something that everyone can use easily, it works really well. And like I said, for stability, for older people, you can get your 9-year-old grandma out and your 3-year-old kid out all at the same time. Having the chair there, if you have a little kid, we've had people hook up car seats to the front. So you can get almost any size child out pushing or kick sledding behind. You could add an extra set of footrests on there if you want 2 kids standing on there. Our kid models push in the front, so you can do kind of a kick sled train with them and get numerous people out. So as far as the speed of it, you can choose your speed. So if you want to go slower with older people or younger people, you can. If you want to go super fast with the older kids, you can. So it's definitely more versatile than any other sport. You can use it on an icy lake. You can use it on a snowy road, a snowy trail. The state parks work really well. So you don't have to find a specific trail. It's not as much of a hassle. You can hop on and off. You can sit and take breaks. You can bring a water bottle, a basket with a blanket and some snacks in there. So it's definitely more versatile than any other winter sport.
That's what I feel. It's very accessible to families because, like you said, you need a lot of stuff usually with kids. Mm-hmm. So you have a spot to put the stuff. You have a spot to put the kid. Mm-hmm. And then everyone can kind of go at their own pace. Like, our kids love pushing each other on the kick sled. I was going to ask you next what age it's ideal for, because that's what a lot of people have asked me. But you answered it perfectly. Literally babies can be on it all the way up to grandparents. So it is a lot more bang for your buck.
Correct.
Like you said, both of our boys ski, and it is. We're replacing skis every year. We love it, but it is very expensive. Mm-hmm. And you won't grow out of a kick sled.
Exactly.
Because we got the one from you guys last year, and our son was 7. He was the one who mainly wanted one. I did too, but it was his Christmas present. And he got the T6, I believe, is what we had. And he used that perfectly. And I can use it too. So it's nice. It's not a specific size. Mm-hmm. You do sell smaller ones, though, for kids.
We have 2 different smaller sizes. We have a T2 that you could use with a 3-year-old up to 5 years old. And then a T4, we say, for 5 to 8, 7. Whatever age until you go up to the T6. And then that T6, we say for 8 years old up to 6 feet tall. We have one taller model that we say for people taller than 6 feet, and it's not much taller. So you can make the T6 work for someone taller than 6 feet as well.
Yeah, you have options if you do want to customize the size. But like you said, pretty much that standard size will fit for everybody.
Correct.
So, some other ideas that I've seen actually some people using them for is I've seen some people use them for like winter camping, because you can strap your bag on there and then just kick it out. Then you have a chair too. Mm-hmm. They are super comfortable to sit on. Also ice fishing. Do you have people who use them for ice fishing too?
We do. Yes. We even sell little bungees and hooks for your ice auger. So there's hooks that go on the handlebar that you can hang an ice auger on. And then you can bungee up your bucket or your tackle box, whatever you need of your equipment. Kick on out on the lake. You have your chair right there and you're good to go.
Perfect. We like it because, like you said, there's a couple things you can do in winter, but the more novelty of a thing, the more unique of a thing, the better, because they're actually looking forward to winter instead of dreading it.
Exactly.
Because you really can only use kick sleds in the snow, so you need to wait for that snow. So then once the first snow comes, you're like, yes, I need to get out there and use it. So it makes it a lot more special, and it makes everyone love winter more because you have something to look forward to that you can't do any other time of the year.
Right. And it's nice because you don't need a lot of snow. And later in the season, if the snow is gone but the ice is still there, you can still get out using it. So in comparison to snowshoeing or skiing, you kind of have to wait for that perfect conditions for those sports. Whereas a kick sled, you get 2 inches of snow and you're good to go. Or the snow is melting but the ice is still there, you can go out on an icy lake. So the season for kick sledding is also longer.
That's true. I didn't think of that, but you're right. That's the first thing we pull out and the last thing we put away is the kick sled. That is a good point. So we did touch on this a little bit. We'll circle back and go over it a little bit more. But the main question I've had from friends is, where can you use them? You mentioned parks and obviously lakes and ice. Are there any other, like you said, sidewalks that aren't cleared? Are there any other ideas on where to use them?
Well, we have heard from a lot of our customers who are using them, the state park roads work really well because they don't salt them. So they'll get plowed and driven on, but they won't get salted. So it's going to get perfectly packed down, and the more packed down, the better. So those work really well. Nature trail that is hiked, anything padded down is what's going to work the best. So a snowmobile trail will work as well. We've gone, if it's really icy, like the conditions we have now, you can kick sled just on the side of the road where it's not salted or sanded. Icy lakes, icy parking lots. My mother-in-law uses it to go to and from her car. She keeps her sidewalk icy. Rather than having those little icy patches, she likes just to have her kick set at the door, kick it out to her car, keep it there until she gets home, and kick it right back in. So almost anywhere.
That's a good idea. We don't do a lot of snow clearing at our house either, just because it's a losing battle. Mm-hmm. There's always more snow coming. Mm-hmm. But then our boys just use it on the sidewalks in the driveway, and it's fun to just kind of play around
and
in the yard,
and it's
easy
and convenient enough. It folds down, so you can fold it back up. It takes about 30 seconds. When it's folded down, it's about 6 inches in height, maybe 8 inches. Takes about 30 seconds to fold up, and you're good to go. You don't have equipment that you have to get clicked into. You can kick around the parking lot and it not be a waste of time. Whereas with like skis, you're going to have to click into your boots. And when you're doing it, you can't really easily stop. So just to have it in the parking lot 10 minutes before you hop in the car and go somewhere, you can kick sled around or to your mailbox or just up and down the driveway.
Good point with kids, because again, we cross country ski, we snowshoe, but you have all of this stuff that you're like, we just snowshoed 2 days ago and it took me like 15 minutes to strap everybody in the snowshoes, and then we're out for a little bit and then to get everybody out of them. So it's a lot less frustrating with kick sleds, I feel, with kids, because they can just like hop right on it. Mm-hmm. And I did have somebody ask me, can you go up and down hills, or should it be a flat surface that you're using one on?
So it's definitely not going to be downhill. Flat surfaces work the best. If you have a small hill, it's super fun. You can go down small hills. Nothing, no downhill ski hills, but small hills work. Kicking up a hill is going to be harder, but like skis, you're locked in. Whereas a kick sled, if it's hard, you just walk it up. You just walk and push. So going uphill is definitely more easy than other winter sports.
Yeah, even easier than walking, really. I mean, because you can lean on the kick sled as you're going up. That's what I do like about kick sledding, too, is because it's urban friendly. A lot of people who want to get outside in winter feel like they have to go so far away and do this big experience and adventure. With kick sledding, you can just use it on the sidewalks, like we're saying. You can use it in the city right where you're at and get outside.
Which makes it so much more accessible. We've had people say, we live in a city, so we're not going to buy one. And it's, if your driveway is snowy or if your sidewalk stays icy for a few days, even just right after the snow falls, if you can go out before it gets salted or plowed, that's perfect.
Okay, so I'll share how we personally use ours. Our situation's a little unique because we live on a lake. So I had mentioned we use it on the ice with the ice runners, but we also do make a snowmobile trail, like just make a little loop around. So if you have access, if you live out in the country like we do, that will work really well. I know most people can't, but it is an idea. Also, I'll circle back around to dog sledding. It's a good way to get into dog sledding. Like if you have one dog and you're like, I want to try that. Mm-hmm. So most dogs can pull it like 50 pounds and up, I feel like. And you just need to get a harness first, because if you hook up your dog with a collar, that's not a good idea, because that's not typically what a collar is meant for. But if you get a harness, they're only like $30, and then you're getting more uses even out of the kick sled. You can be like, oh, I get to dog sled and kick sled. So the kick sled's nice because you can use it without a dog, but it's another option for you, basically.
It's really nice hearing people's stories. We don't have a big dog, so we haven't been able to try it yet, but we're getting into purchasing all the proper equipment, the bridle and the dog harnesses, to start selling to our customers. Just so people know, because people see it and they think that's a dog sled, or they see it and they say that's for children, or they see it and say, I'm too young for that. It's a winter walker. So people see it as one thing, but once they hear about it and know more about it and see that you can use it for all these different things, it definitely sells the product more. And like you said, the dog sledding, it's an easy way to do it with one dog or with two dogs.
We did touch on this a little bit, but how much snow do you need? And if you don't live in a place that gets regular snow, is it still usable like you would use downhill skis when you go to snow? Mm-hmm. Is it something to have in your stash?
Yes. So like I said, you really only need 2 or 3 inches of snow. The more padded down, the better. So you could get 6 inches of snow and have it padded down and it'll work, or 2 inches of snow and have it padded down and it'll work. My favorite is at the end of the season when the snow is melting, and then when it melts a little bit and then gets cold again and freezes and turns into ice, that's really fun. The icy lakes stay longer than the snow does, so having that is really fun. And like you said, downhill skiing, not everyone lives near a downhill ski hill, so you kind of pack up your skis and you go 2 or 3 weekends of the year, and that's how you could use a kick slide. You could go north and you'll find snow.
So even if you're in a place that's icy and you don't get a ton of snow, that, I mean, it really does work on ice just as well as snow, like we said. So you don't need to be totally in a wintry area. You don't need to be in Alaska to use it. So what is the maintenance? Are they easily breakable? And is it easy to repair if broken?
So we get them imported from Finland, and the brand's called Esla. All of the retailers in the U.S. get them from the same place. So there's really only one big manufacturer. They make the skis out of a spring steel, so they're very, very flexible to put pressure on without breaking. So you kind of use the ends of the skis to steer yourself and guide with. So those are definitely very flexible and bendable, but they do not break. The wood is a birch wood, which is very light and very durable, so that we have not had any issues with. We've had ours for 6 years and they look brand new. So they definitely are built very, very strong. Like I said, it's pretty much one size fits all, so you could buy it and have it the rest of your life. The plastic runners on the bottom they peel on and off. So like you said, the ski is what you would use out on the ice, but if you push that plastic runner on, then you could go out on the snow. So with those peeling off, you can replace just that part versus having to replace the whole thing if the bottom got torn up. We would probably suggest every 3 to 5 years replace that, depending on how often you're using it. We haven't replaced ours, and it's 6 years old, and we're not very cautious with it.
There's not really any maintenance.
No,
really.
We've had skiers ask if we wax the runners, and we haven't. It works just as well. We haven't had to sharpen the blades or anything, because it's not a sharp thing. It just kind of sinks into the ice.
We've even seen like antique ones, and I think you have an antique one.
We do, right on our business.
Yeah. And those are close to 100 years old, 50 years old, and they are still good. So if those are sticking around that long, I think these will be okay. I know one person who broke a kick sled, but she was running like a 4-dog team and she smacked straight into a tree. Don't run into a tree going 30 miles an hour and you'll be fine.
That's right.
So last question someone asked is, where and how can I buy a kick sled?
So we are based out of Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, in Door County. We do have an online store and we can ship our compact ones all over the U.S. The longer ones are very expensive to ship, so we do not ship those by social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram, Door County Kick Sled, and then our website is doorcountykicksled.com.
All right, I will link all those in the show notes too, so you can easily find them. But also coming to Door County in the winter for like a road trip or a winter vacation is a good idea. So if you want a kick sled, you can just come here for a trip, buy one, use it right away, because there are a lot of ski trails and there's great parks here, and it is really pretty in the winter. As you said, it's slower, so you have a very peaceful Door County vibe. So it's just an idea. If you are bored in the winter, you can just come out to Door County and get one.
Yes.
Well, that concludes our kick sledding episode. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.